Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Lord relinquished the body which He had manifested to diminish the burden of the earth, just like a magician. He relinquishes one body to accept different ones, like the fish incarnations and others. Purport. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is neither impersonal nor formless, but His body is non-different from Him, and therefore He is known as the embodiment of eternity, knowledge and bliss. In the Brihad Vaishnava Tantra, it is clearly mentioned that anyone who considers the form of Lord Krishna to be made of material energy must be ostracized by all means. Ostracized means kicked out, sort of. Okay, just for your information, I don't know that word. It's an old worm. Okay. Must be ostracized. They must be, yeah. So I'll repeat that again. And anybody who considers the form of Lord Krishna to be made of material energy must be ostracized by all means. And if by chance the face of such an infidel is seen, one must clean himself by jumping in the river with his clothing. The Lord is described as Amrita, or deathless, because He has no material body. Under the circumstances, the Lord's dying and quitting His body is like the jugglery of a magician. The magician shows by his tricks that he is cut to pieces, burnt to ashes, or made unconscious by hypnotic influences. But all are false shows only. Factually, the magician himself is neither burnt to ashes nor cut to pieces, nor is he dead or unconscious at any stage of his magical demonstration. Similarly, the Lord has His eternal forms of unlimited variety, of which the fish incarnation, as was exhibited within the universe, is also one. Because there are innumerable universes, somewhere or other, the fish in our incarnation must be manifesting His pastimes without cessation. In this verse, the particular word dati, eternally accepted, and not the word ditva, accepted for the occasion, is used. The idea is that the Lord does not create the fish incarnation. He eternally has such a form, and the appearance and disappearance of such incarnations serves particular purposes. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:24-25, the Lord says, "The impersonalists think I have no form, that I am formless, but at present I have accepted a form to serve a purpose, and now I am manifested." But such speculators are factually without sharp intelligence. Though they may be good scholars in the Vedic literatures, they are practically ignorant of my inconceivable energies and my eternal forms of personality. The reason that I reserve the power of not being exposed to the non-devotees is by my mystic curtain. The less intelligent fools are therefore unaware of my eternal form, which is never vanquished and is unborn. In the Padma Purana, it is said that those who are envious and always angry at the Lord are unfit to know the actual eternal form of the Lord. In the Bhagavatam, also it is said that the Lord appears like a thunderbolt to those who were the wrestlers. Sisupal, at the time of being killed by the Lord, could not see him as Krishna, being dazzled by the glare of the Brahma Jyoti. Therefore, the temporary manifestation of the Lord as a thunderbolt to wrestlers appointed by Kamsa and the glaring appearance of the Lord before Shishupal was relinquished by the Lord. But the Lord, as a magician, is eternally existent and is never vanquished in any circumstance. Such forms are temporarily shown to the asuras only, and when such exhibitions are withdrawn, the asuras think that the Lord is no more existent. Just as the foolish audience thinks that the magician to be burnt to ashes and cut to pieces, the conclusion is that the Lord has no material body, and therefore he's never to be killed or changed by his transcendental body. Om jnana tim marandasya jananjana salakaya chaksho milatam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Messiah Bhutale Shamakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nova Sesha Shunyani Pastitaya Nirsatarine. Right. Yes, this is a wonderful thing. They referred in the Brahma Samhita, where Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, in his translation of the Brahma Samhita, he talks about these different incarnations, and I'll just read what he says. It's in verse 33 of the Brahma Samhita. He says, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but obtainable by pure unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, or without beginning, whose form is endless, who is beginning and is the beginning and the eternal Purusha. Yet he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth. So we hear he say he's the eternal Purusha. He's the male, supreme male, and that were his subservient, were Prakriti, were his female energy. So we should serve him. And that's our position, and that's where our joy will be revealed. He says here that he is a person possessing beauty of blooming youth. Advaita means indivisible truth, who is knowledge absolute, Brahman and infinite. It emanates from him and is effulgence of God eminent, Paramatma, as his constituent. But nevertheless, he remains one and indivisible. a tutor means that through the myriads of avatars that emanate from him as subjected portions, and millions of jivas are also separated of spiritual particles, still he remains intact as the undivided whole of fullest perfection. That's wonderful. You know, so he's there, it said there in a nutshell how the Lord expands himself. And we in this material world, we've been given a position where we become the Lord, because we have little expansions that are brought through us into this world. And so we're finding out that we're also mum and dad, that we're sort of like mini Krishnas and Mother Yashodas and things like that. We're experiencing paternal, maternal feelings through the Lord in our mini Krishna forms and mini Mother Yashoda forms, and experiencing these feelings, which are in purity. In the pure form in the spiritual world, that where that the they talk about the that when they see, or you know, they view the material world and its procreation, they think, ugh, how horrible, you know, that they have to do all these things. Because in the spiritual world, you could say what we call sex life in the material world, the rasas and exchanges are even on just a smile, just a look, a glance, a Saigon look. These are very subtle forms of the eternal loving exchanges, which are not on the bodily platform, but they are as significant. You know, when somebody smiles at us, endears us. That person, they're endeared to our heart. Or if they're not smiling at us and they're grumpy, and well, we reflect their feelings and, oh, what's up with him today, you know, or her today. But in the spiritual world, those feelings of anger and smiles and thing, they all have a transcendental nature, which are pure and accepted, because their anger is transcendental. The anger is that experienced in loving exchanges. Shrimati Radharani can get angry with Krishna for not turning up at their rendezvous. And so that's a transcendental anger. And it's pure. It's not malicious in its state. It's one that they relate to each other. Krishna gets the message when Radharani's angry. You know, similarly in this world, when you have marriage, and I experience marriage, that when you get that look and you think, uh-oh, or that silence, you think, uh-oh, you know, it has an effect. And so we're again experiencing these the similar feelings that are experienced in the spiritual world, but they're so pure. It's part of a play of love, isn't it? There's no grudges as such. It evaporates. They're spontaneous activities which that are dynamic and changing, spontaneous. And whereas here sometimes that all the reactions that we receive in the material world, there's things like revenge, getting your own back, or at the same time causing difficulties to others, enviousness, all this sort of thing is within this world. It's not a nice place to be, but it's a distorted version of the spiritual world that we have to go through to somehow get a message of Godhead, which Prabhupada's brought us, and Bhaktisiddhanta has brought us in his Brahma Samhita. Yeah, so here he says that he's Advaita means indivisible truth, and there is knowledge absolute. He's Brahman, he's infinite, everything emanates from him as his effulgence and the eminent, the Paramatma, as his constituent. Everything, nonetheless, remains one and indivisible. That means a tutor. That means we can't understand it, that all these things are present in expansions of the Lord. And these expansions of the Lord, they Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gauranitai Ki Jai. Likewise, the deities, they're again, they're expansions of the Lord. And they're for us in this world to somehow serve the Lord in a loving relationship or a bond. You know, as we found out from Radha Govinda the other day, his change of mood that he experienced in serving the deities, and how this blossoming was taking place. And this can only happen if we stick at it. You know, sometimes we have to be careful of our offences, that Krishna doesn't take us away by our own mentality. They say, oh, I must go somewhere else. You know, this place or this is not satisfying me. But of course, if we're not careful, this satisfying me is based on the modes of material nature. We have to come through these modes of material nature to find the nectar, to develop in our consciousness, to somehow that whatever suffering, so-called suffering, is actually mercy. It's just an awakening of us, a reminder that we should be more. We should know it's from the Lord, and that that it's His special mercy is telling us that something may be wrong with the way we do things. It's a lesson, but at the same time, it may be that somehow or other we have to go through it. We have to go through this lesson. We have to come out the other side, like in a dark tunnel. And you know that somehow there's a light is awaiting at the end of this dark tunnel. So this is the path of Krishna consciousness. And it says, Bhaktisiddhanta, he says that the path to God or Krishna is bestrewn with thorns. You know, we actually, it's a path we have to tread, and it feels like thorns, and we go, ouch, 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 ouch. But if we can treat these reactions that are within us under the motor material nature, it's all good for us. Krishna's all good, and he's giving us, no matter what's happening to us, it's for our best. And if we can reflect on that, and we'll know more. So he says, he comes as myriads of avatars, as is spoken here in this purport. He's like a magician. And he's showing different features, but as the magician knows, he's created illusions for us. And he says, the impersonalists think that he has no form and he's formless, but at present I have accepted a form to serve a purpose that I am now manifested. And it's a very interesting one. I remember there was the example with the impersonalists. If you have a meal with an impersonalist, and I think Prabhupada was given this example, that you eat all the food, or the prasadam that's been presented to you, and you say, oh, that's better. And then they say, the other person says, well, I didn't get any. But we're all one. You should be satisfied. We're all one. This was an example given. So, you should be satisfied. And that wouldn't quite satisfy us. So it's almost like an example, really, of the self-defeating impersonalist. Their philosophy is defeatable, but they have word jugglery. They're very knowledgeable in sastra. They can defeat us even. But that reminds me, I think it's a pastime of Ramanujacharya, when he was being defeated by an impersonalist, that he couldn't defeat him, and the result of the contest of this exchange was that the one would have to become a disciple of the other, and he went to his deities one night and he said, look, help me. He's defeating me at every turn. Lord, please help me. And somehow or other, he came back to the contest. And again, he was being defeated. Then he started to smile. He knew the Lord was with him. And the impersonalist was thinking, what's happening? Why is he smiling? Why is this happening? And he carried on just smiling, hearing all these defeats and these arguments. And then he thought, oh my God, He's got the truth. I must become his disciple. He was defeated by this inner peace that he had, not by dry philosophical action, that somehow this smiling in this so-called defeated situation, the person had realized he'd been defeated by this greater understanding of the inner peace, the inner strength. And so, it says, reminds me of a song, old pop song, don't worry, be happy. We shouldn't worry, because Krishna says, don't worry. It's Masutaha. That's an instruction when he says, surrender to me. And if we worry, that means we're putting a calculation on the surrender. So it's actually an instruction that we're receiving from Krishna. He says, don't worry, because your worries in full surrender are taken away. You become fearless, you know, abhicharan, Prabhupada, fearless. Somehow or other, we can see by Prabhupada's life, he had nothing to fear. Everything evolved in its time and place. And, difficult situations were overcome, even with his godbrothers. And he had difficulties. But in spite of that, he came through triumphant. Why? Because he was following the order of his spiritual master. That was his shelter. That he had somebody in that had conveyed in such a way that touched his heart that he became, he couldn't be defeated. No matter what, he had the inner peace. And he was able to carry on no matter what, in spite of obstacles. He could, you could say he was wading the water of the obstacles, but somehow the current of the water of this torrent that was going around him of this material existence, it was it didn't stop him. He could carry on because he had that inner strength, which is undefeatable. And somehow, and there was another pastime where they were looking at Prabhupada. They told him a disciple had told him of so many difficulties that was happening in the movement, and that people were falling down, that also in their countries we were being imprisoned, and the devotees were persecuted, and they were having so many difficulties around the world. And then they heard, they came out from Prabhupada's room after hearing all this forebodings, this bad news, so-called, that they heard laughing. And I can't remember, it must have been Hari Sori or something was recounting. They looked in through the keyhole of the door, and there was Prabhupada. He was inside just laughing. So it's a very interesting thing, isn't it? That somehow or other, that he was laughing in the face of so many obstacles, because he had that inner understanding would surpass all so-called external things. And inside, he was still joyful. It's like Mother Kalingana when she used to go up the stairs. And I have recounted this before. And as she was struggling, you know. And I said, Mother Kalingana, can I help you? Are you okay? She said, yes, this body is getting so old. And it's a struggle. But she said, inside I'm singing and dancing. And so we're looking at an internal arrangement that actually we should still sing and dance inside and find a way of coming through with a smile on our face. Because to say, this is coming from Krishna. this is coming from Krishna. It's helping me. That it's not that person. It's Krishna. It's Krishna. We're not blaming him, but he's trying to give me a message. It's a personal message. The way we receive things is through the modes of material nature. And if we're not careful, it distorts. Oh, they're always getting at me. You know, they got it in for me. That's not true. That's the way you perceive it internally. You know, that's the modes of material nature. So, I better cease there. It's 8:30. Any comments or questions? Or maybe what I said here? Talking about the different incarnations and how he manifests himself in different incarnations eternally in this world and other worlds at the same time simultaneously. And also the devotees expanding also in different worlds simultaneously, elsewhere, inconceivably, Achintya. Yes, Srinivas Prabhu. Oh, just now coming.
One of his letters, Prabhupada explained that Prabhupada posed the question that the question was asked, is it the same Arjuna which expands in Krishna's pastimes in all the universes?
Mm.
Because Krishna's pastimes are like eternal roadshow, like a sun going around, eternally going on from one universe to the other.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada said, yes, it's the same Arjuna. When the jiva is with Krishna, he can expand in limited forms to assist Krishna in his pastimes.
Yeah.
But with our material conditioned mind, we cannot understand this.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Srinivas. Yeah. So that's confirmed. The inconceivable nature of these leelas and pastimes. And at the same time, they know they're eternally with Krishna. We should be reassured that Krishna's eternally with us in our heart, isn't he? And with the deities in his other forms. It's all to really just communicate with us. It's a message from Godhead that it's not... It's a relationship. It's not one-sided relationship. Us trying to get to him, he's trying to get to us, isn't he? That's where we should be reassured. It's a personal message that, you know, why is all this coming to us? It's his mercy, you know, and whatever form it takes. If we can tolerate, that's a spiritual muscle, tolerate, you know, all that's happening to us, and understand that Krishna's behind it. He says, for one who sees me everywhere, and everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So we got to see Krishna in everything. If we can, and it's not a blaming capacity. It's a thing of saying that we can see that Krishna's trying to let me know. He's not letting me go. And this is just another form of mercy, whether it be happiness or distress. You know, it's also temporary, you see, in this world, because it's related to the body as well. And the mind, so-called mind, that's a material thing. The mind is material in its nature. It's subtle body. And it's a subtle sense. And so we should know that the mind is the only thing that's influenced by the false ego that's offended. You know, false ego is being offended. Yeah, so don't worry about it. That's not you. That's definitely not you. Any other comments, questions? Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
There was one point in the, I think this was at the pastimes of Jada Bharat and King Rahugan, that, and this was very nice commentary by Paramakruna. He asked a question, like when we are hurt, either physically or emotionally or mentally, what is that which suffers? Because the soul is transcendental and the body is just matter.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that subtle body is there as well. So what is that which actually suffers?
Yeah.
When we are in pain, what is that which is in pain?
Yeah. What is that pain? It's definitely, you see, the mind is material, the intelligence is material, and it's passed off from our previous life's existence. So it's attached to the false ego. It's something we've inherited. But we should know that it's the mind is a material thing under the influence of the modes of material nature. And it's knowledge that, this knowledge that we've been given, that the mind is material, the intelligence is material from our previous life and has come with us. That's why we're in the material world and is under the modes of material nature. So the impressions on the mind and so-called intelligence is still affected. And we should know, we shouldn't really take too much notice of the impressions of the mind. That's for certain. Unless you have that knowledge that, why am I offended? Why is this affecting me? I should ask myself this question. And if Krishna's with me, how can I be affected? Because he's looking after me. He's my best friend. You know, he's... in all circumstances, you know. So we must follow his instruction. He says, don't worry. It's the only thing that worries is the false ego. But we can have transcendental anxiety. That means being afraid of losing Krishna, memory of Krishna, losing our association with devotees. That can be a fearful position, you know. That's on the transcendental platform, and that's what we should be careful of. That we shouldn't, we should somehow keep connection with the devotees. That should bring us some transcendental anxiety, because they're our support and association. And they'll tell you, it's like a good friend. They'll tell you what they see, isn't it? Generally, a devotee, they said, why are you doing that? Why are you behaving that? Like Mother Kalangada used to say, you should serve, you can do, you arrange things nicely, but you just need to serve with love and kindness. It was like she was complimenting me on one hand, but then she got the knife in. Love and kindness. It was missing. So, and that penetrated. And I thought, oh my goodness. You know, so sadhu also penetrates, and that's what our spiritual masters do, isn't it? You know, Sutapa, he gives examples of, you know, when his spiritual master corrected him or adjusted his understanding of things. About staying in Vrindavan, if I remember rightly, you were telling us, and how it sort of wakes us up that actually we're not there for ourselves, we're there to find out what Vrindavan is really like, and to get to know the devotees, you know, because that's the message of going to the pilgrimage place. Is that you associate with devotees there, and and you'll find out the real Vrindavan, not what you want to spend time doing. It's not quite like that. It's what Vrindavan, like a cow buffeted me once when I was in Vrindavan, and I thought, wow, where did that come from? You know, and I'd only just got there, but I thought I have to be very careful here. I didn't realize it's such a strict dharma, so you have to be very careful. And I had some, I had some enjoying expectations, yeah, of in Vrindavan, and you know, shopping, doing all these sort of things, getting books, you know, get more and more atyahara, have all the books, but not being able to read them. That's the worst. It's you're teasing yourself, you know, and that's what I found. I've got all wonderful books, but will I read them all? And that's a frustration for me. So I'm just teasing myself. That's why I say atyahara, you know, be careful. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada, thank you for that class. When it comes on that last note, when you're mentioning seeing Krishna's hand in everything that's happening to us,
yeah.
Do you think that's something we develop through practice or more so through our spiritual advancement?
It is spiritual advancement because you have association with those more experienced, and you don't necessarily have to react at the time if you something unpleasant happens to you. You must try to tolerate and then seek advice. You've got to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, count before you say anything. And then that will give you maybe, or say, oh, excuse me, I just got to go to the toilet to take yourself away from a situation. You know, these things can be done, you know, it's practical, you know. You know, you can help yourself just by not reacting, because the tongue is so uncontrollable if you're not careful. And I find this out from time to time. I've got to be careful. Consider it. Yeah. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hari Bol.